This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins.
And that is not an understatement as far as the condition of the roads this morning. Coming in on 94, it was a mess. You couldn't even see the lines. And so keep that in mind, because I know a lot of you are headed up to Lambeau for early tailgating. And I wasn't on 43, but I have a strong idea that it's as bad on 43 as it was on 94 this morning. So again, if you're going anywhere, leave lots of extra time and take it easy, because the roads have not been completely cleared off. Why? Because it was still snowing. So joining us is TMJ4 meteorologist Michael Fish. And what the heck? Fish, how much snow did we have again last night?
We had about, okay, so it varies widely. You brought up a good point. If you're going to Lambeau, north, they barely got anything.
Really?
Like if you head towards, yeah, like you start to sneak into Ozaukee County, they probably got an inch or so. And then north of there, I mean, Sheboygan barely got anything. So things get drastically better if you are heading north, either if you are taking 41 to the game or 43. It's just around the Milwaukee area. We got about two and a half, maybe 3 inches in the southern part of the county. I'm in my car right now. I'm also creeping around. I just got off of 145 at Park Place, I think it is. And yeah, it's just slow going. It's more of the same. Here's the thing, though. The salt is not working that fast because the pavement's really cold. It's only 22 degrees on my car thermometer here. And I think as you head south of Milwaukee County, like into Racine, Kenosha, Walworth, you probably got 4 inches or so. But again, farther to the north, you barely saw anything.
Now, okay.
It all depended on where you live.
Yeah, you mentioned the temperature. Now, is it going to drop today, or are we going to stay right about this temperature where we are now?
I mean, we're going to stay close to this temperature. There are some indications that the temperature may fall just a little bit, but either way you cut it, I mean, whether we're in the mid-20s or upper teens, the average high is supposed to be for today 39. That's how far we are from it. I know. It's like, I'm already sick of it.
Thank you. I'm glad I'm not the only one. I mean, you're a professional and you're sick of it. Think of the rest of us.
Well, I mean, it's not like it was just let's just ease our way into winter. No, it was, here's a foot of snow, here's cold and temperatures popping below zero at times, and then here's more snow. Like, it's just like winter, hello. And remember, that started at the end of November.
Yeah, okay.
It's only December 7th.
Let me ask you this, because you and I, we have to drive on Sunday mornings, whereas, luckily for most people, they don't have to. But are we now into some sort of a weather pattern, like a seven-day weather pattern, where every weekend we're going to be seeing snow like this?
Well, it's an active weather pattern. I do see that. What's going to happen next weekend, I'm not entirely sure, but that's 7 days away. I don't have a good, and there's nothing, no like clear signal where something just looks like it's going to be rolling on through. I do have a clearer signal on the system for Tuesday night. I mean, yeah, this is an active pattern that we keep, whether it's a clipper, whether it's just a regular old low pressure rolling its way on through, it's just something every couple of days. Tonight there may be a little lake effect right along the lakefront. We go down to 13. Anything out of that right on that shoreline would be minor, if anything at all. Then we have another chance of some very light to almost nothing snow Monday night. If we see anything out of that, it's very minor, if anything. But it's the Tuesday night I'm watching. Right now it's looking like it's going to be rainier out of that. But if that thing tracks farther south on Tuesday night, that means more snow for us. Looks like the northern part of the state, they're going to get smacked pretty good with snow out of that Tuesday night system. But we're looking rainier right now. I hope it stays that way, because if it tracks south, that means we start creeping into some territory where we might see some accumulation. That moves out on Wednesday. At least Tuesday, we make it to 38. Wednesday's 36. But then another chance of snow on Thursday. And then another chance of snow on Friday.
Fitch, you are just depressing. You're depressing me. You're just making me feel really bad with all this snow.
But there, you know, there are the snowmobilers. They're getting really they're getting amped up.
Good
it.
For them. All right, so so Green Bay didn't get any snow, so at least they don't have to go and shovel out Lambeau. But how cold is it going to be at kickoff this afternoon?
Probably mid-teens. That's all we get. Maybe mid to, yeah. And not only that, it's going to be blustery out there, so that's going to keep those wind chills like closer to zero. And by the end of the game, it looks like either upper single digits to lower teens with wind. So dress. I want to see a lot of blaze orange out in those stands.
I don't know if we want to see orange because that is a Bears color.
I know, but it's I mean, that's you bring up a good point, but everyone knows what I'm talking about. The old hunter's clothes, that they're like the warmest clothes we all have.
Well, this is true. This is true. But again, it's going to be cold. There's no doubt about that. Michael Fish from TMJ4, always great to have you here. And keep that snow away this week, would you?
Yeah, I'll try. Not doing a very good job, Libby. We'll see ya.
It's 8:14 on WTMJ. Well, speaking of Green Bay, Alex Stroff is on his way to Lambeau, and he's going to be joining us a little bit later on with a preview of today's Packers-Bears meet. And, oh boy, this is going to be a big one now, isn't it? Also, we've got a story for you on how you can save 25 cents per gallon of gasoline one day a week. We'll tell you what day it is and what you have to do. Also, we're going to talk with the head of global data breach security from Experian. And I'll tell you something, what he has to tell us is absolutely frightening. So if you are at all concerned about your internet security, you don't want to miss that. Tim Gibbons, who is the editor in chief of the Milwaukee Business Journal, tells us about a possible takeover of a local television station. A very interesting story. Also, our consumer expert, Michelle Reinen, warns us how scammers want our identities at this time of the year, and this is when they are at their busiest. Well, as you know, Sandy Max is going to be here too, and she spent one day this week following Hugh Jackman all around the area. She is still has this huge smile on her face about it. But she's also seen the movie Song Sung Blue, and we'll find out what she thinks about that. Also, today is National Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day, and we're going to play the only live radio report that took place from Hawaii 84 years ago. And if you are into history, I think you're going to find this very, very interesting. Also, we're going to take a look back at the week in review. We've got Nazir in the newsroom. Isaac's here pushing those buttons. And in just 2 minutes, it's WTMJ's Eric Bilstead recognizing an everyday hero. On Wisconsin Weekend Morning News, I'm Libby Collins. We're here till 10 o'clock this morning on WTMJ. Well, any lingering light snow or flurries are going to end this morning, probably around 9 o'clock, but it's still going to be chilly. We'll get some sunshine. High of 26 degrees. It's 22 at 8:18 on WTMJ. And it's time to recognize another everyday hero. Here's Eric Bilstead.
An everyday hero is defined by Wisconsin's Morning News as an average John or Jane Doe who had no idea when they got up one morning they'd be saving a life. Today we head to Fargo, North Dakota. The Cashwise there in Fargo, it's the grocery store, and this particular store has a very popular cashier.
Good morning. How you doing today?
That's Elvira Gentry. Super friendly, super popular. Customers love chatting with her.
Are you ready for the holidays?
Getting ready.
Getting ready.
Isn't that great? WDAY-TV has the story about how customers will wait in line, long lines, just to talk to her.
La, 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 la.
So one day, Pam Thorson's in line. She goes there regularly. And Pam and Elvira start the chatting while she's ringing her up. And Pam says Elvira starts talking about mammograms.
And she goes, oh, I had my mammogram. I got squished and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Pam then admits to her that, you know what? I haven't had one of those in years. Elvira is shocked and urges her to go get checked up. She says you have to.
She said, I'm going to listen to you, girl, is what she said.
So Pam does go in for a mammogram. And what do you know? She finds out that, yep, she's got breast cancer. Pam is now currently in chemo. And she went back to the grocery store to tell Elvira.
Then she shared with me about the results. And it just broke my heart. I'm about to tear up now.
But Pam says, no, this is good news. The prognosis is good and that she's lucky. She's going to live. And she says it's all because of Elvira.
And I'm like, I want you to know that you're responsible for saving my life. And I tear up every time.
Isn't that great? Being an everyday hero doesn't always mean running into a burning house or pulling someone from a fiery crash. Sometimes you can be a hero just by listening, observing, giving some good advice, and loving.
You know, I love my customers, and I love what I do. And you got to love what you do to do what you do.
Right.
Yes.
What a great story from WDAY. You can see it. Just text the word hero to the Siding Unlimited WDTMJ Talk and Text Line, 855-616-1620. Thank you, Elvira, for being an everyday hero. Everyday Hero is sponsored by Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living, transforming the culture of care.
La, 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 la.
Eric Bilstead, WDTMJ News.
Thanks a lot, Eric. It is 8:21. Those roads are very slick and snow-covered out there, especially if you're close to Milwaukee, as Fish told us, going a little bit further north on 43, 41. Once you get up towards Ozaukee, not so bad. But if you are driving in the greater Milwaukee area or south, be very, very careful. Leave a lot of extra time because, again, even the interstates still have a lot of snow cover on them. All right, coming up next, we've got Tim Gibbons in the Milwaukee Business Journal, and he's got a story about a local TV station that might be in a position of being taken over. We'll tell you all about it right after this on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. It's time to check in with Timothy Gibbons. He's the editor-in-chief of the Milwaukee Business Journal, and it's a story that just doesn't go away, and it is Foxconn. What have you learned this week at the Milwaukee Business Journal, Tim?
Story that will not go away, yes. So Foxconn is upping the amount that it is investing in its campus there in Racine County. And they basically just announced $569 million in new investment for that site. Listeners probably remember that was supposed to be that huge mega project, and then it got scaled way back, and basically it's getting a bit bigger than what it got scaled back to. So that money is going to be used at its existing campus to renovate some buildings, to add some equipment, and ultimately to end up hiring more people.
And is that a good thing?
Yes. So they've already invested $717 million, and then adding the additional $569 million, again, it doesn't make it that $10 billion project that was initially proposed, but it definitely adds more to the workforce there and makes that site a more important bit of the Foxconn web of companies.
All right. Well, let's move over to Waukesha, because this is more of an insider story, but it is a company that makes construction equipment, and they're involved in a takeover bid.
Yeah, exactly. So Wacker Neuson is the name of the company. They're based in Germany, but they have hundreds of workers there in Menominee Falls, and they are the subject of interest from a South Korean company who makes Bobcats. It's probably the product that listeners would be most familiar with. So Dosen Bobcat is the name of the company. They are looking to acquire a majority stake in Wacker Neuson and then eventually take over the company. It's unclear at this point what that would mean exactly for the local workforce, but there's 450 employees there, and anytime you have a not necessarily welcome to takeover, it can make people nervous.
Yeah, and takeovers do make people nervous, and you've been covering the story now for a couple of weeks. I got to ask you about it, and that is this possible takeover of TMJ4 News.
Yeah.
What's
yeah,
all that about?
So the TV station is owned by a company called EW Scripps, which is based in Ohio, and they have a rival company called Sinclair that is looking to acquire the company. That is not something that people who work for EW Scripps stations necessarily are looking forward to. Sinclair has a reputation for cost cutting, which impacts jobs. They also have a particular ideological point of view, which I guess depending on where you fall on that ideology could be a good or bad thing, but they have a very conservative approach on a national scale, and they tend to force their local stations to use this national content, which some people don't like. So EW Scripps is saying that they are engaging in conversations, because if you're a public company, that's what you do. When somebody says they would like to take you over, but they also implemented what's called a shareholder rights plan, often known as a poison pill, which makes an acquisition a little bit more difficult and could make it cost more, which would mean that existing shareholders would be paid more, which obviously would be good for those existing shareholders if an acquisition did take place.
So you're talking about the whole company that owns the local TV station then?
Exactly. So it would be acquiring the entire shebang. Scripps is based in Cincinnati, and they picked up WTMJ, the TV station, back in 2015, I want to say, when Scripps merged with the company that used to be Journal Communications. It's probably when, you would know this more than I, when the radio and TV station split apart.
Yeah, very interesting. All right, let's move on. We're talking with Tim Gibbons. He is the editor-in-chief of the Milwaukee Business Journal. We've got some expansion plans with Associated Bank, also acquisitions.
Yeah.
Explain that one to us.
This is fascinating. So Associated Bank is a quick-growing bank, mainly organically, meaning that they're just taking their existing footprint and getting more customers. They've not been doing a lot of acquisitions, and they don't actually plan on doing a lot of acquisitions, but they do have a big one in the works. It's a $604 million acquisition of a Nebraska-based bank, which would immediately make Associated like the second largest bank in Omaha, and I think the 10th largest bank in the Twin Cities. So Associated obviously is focused on the Midwest. They've been growing, as I said, on their own, and this is a way for them to pick up a new market in one fell swoop.
All right. Let's move on to Kohl's, because a lot of people have been visiting there this week with all of their holiday shopping, and they're doing something strategically to sort of change the shift of what they carry in the stores. Explain that for us.
So Kohl's, as many stores do, have their own brands, and having your own brand gives you certain benefits as a retailer. You can control margins a little bit more. You have products that only you have because they're your brands, that sort of thing. So over the years, Kohl's has kind of turned their attention away from their own brands to more of the national brands. Think Levi jeans. What they are doing now is investing more in their proprietary brands, rolling them out to more stores, having more products, with the idea that it gives them a lower price point for shoppers, which is very important in today's economy where shoppers are looking for bargains. And it gives them something that makes them stand out, that if you are looking to buy kids wear and you like the FLX brand, you have to go to Kohl's to get it. So their hope is that it will, by being at a lower price point, attract back bargain-focused customers and also kind of give them a point of differentiation.
So who do they look at as their competition?
The retail space is a challenging one. They're probably looking at everybody. I mean, it is a hard time out there for a store like Kohl's. You know, it's positioned in a, depends on how granular you get in slicing the market. But as shoppers, you can go to Kohl's, you can go to TJ Maxx, you can go to Walmart or Target, and in some ways get the same brands. You can go to Amazon and get the same brands. And again, that's part of the idea of it makes you have a little more of a moat if you control your own, these are our products that you have to come here for.
Well, there's one thing I know you like to go out for, and that's beer, Tim. And you got a couple stories that were in the Business Journal this week. I don't, you find the most interesting beer stories.
If I could focus just on one beat, I'm not saying it would be beer. It probably would actually not be, but probably my second one. So one very local story is New Barons Brewing, which is a brewing co-op. They are looking to move ahead with opening a brewery and tap room on North Port Washington Road in Fox Point. And this would be an expansion for the brewery. And I know a lot of people very much like their beer. So there's just reading some of the comments that we've gotten, people are very excited about that.
And how about a new beer that we're going to be seeing here in Wisconsin?
So this is Yingling, and Yingling calls itself the nation's oldest beer. It's brewed in Pennsylvania, which is where I grew up. I joked when we ran this story that I was going to put the headline on it, good beer finally comes to Wisconsin.
Ouch!
Yeah. And I want to be very clear, that is not true. I think there already is good beer in Wisconsin. But can you imagine the emails we'd get? I am a fan of Yingling, I have to admit that. And they are coming here. It's part of their overall expansion targeting the Midwest. They set up a partnership with Molson Coors a couple years ago using their breweries and their distribution network as a way of entering these new markets. This is a rough time for the beer industry. Sales have been down overall, and kind of like as we were just talking about with Kohl's, there is some amount of consumers turning toward lower price point products. And Yingling comes in at that, it's a mass-produced lager sort of thing, so it comes in at a lower price point. So obviously the company sees a market here. I am curious, with the amount of beer that is already made in the state, how well it does. I kind of laughed at a comment from the company when asked, why they're coming to Wisconsin now, because they've already expanded to Texas and Kansas and Missouri and some other states. And basically they said that they wanted to be fully prepared before coming into Wisconsin, because if you're coming into a state with the type of beer culture that's here, they have to be on their game. So they're clearly respecting the local culture, which is good to see.
And is it true, Tim, that is the real reason you took a job in Wisconsin? To do your best for
beer?
Beer.
Not the only reason, but I mean, quite a little bit, yeah.
Timothy Gibbons, editor-in-chief of the Milwaukee Business Journal. It's always great to have you here.
Great to talk to you.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow.
All right, I think it's over for now, isn't it, Isaac? It's 8:38. Well, this week there was a big blanket of white that hit Wisconsin. It was somebody who's running again. And the Wolverine was here trying some custard and so much more. It's the Week in Review, brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
What we do here is go.
We are currently in a winter storm warning for all of southeastern Wisconsin. It started at 6 a.m. today and goes until 6 a.m. tomorrow.
This is what everyone's doing right now.
This is natural sound of Cyber Monday underway.
You think that's how people do it with an actual keyboard?
Have the NFL coaches gotten hotter, or am I just older?
So your observation was you were I assume scrolling social media.
Yeah.
You see a good looking man in his 30s rip his shirt off, and you go, "Whoa,
that's the coach."
The game against the Bears this weekend is supposed to be super cold too, Brian.
Yeah.
That's how these games are supposed to be played, right? Like, it's supposed to be outside, in the elements, cold weather, Packers, Bears. This is how you want this rivalry to be when they're at the top of their game.
Mandela Barnes is joining the crowded Democratic field for the open governor's race next year.
Not again!
The only way for our state to move forward is to reject the Washington way and get things done the Wisconsin way.
The Bucks fall here in Washington, 129-126.
Very rarely can you watch a Giannis game and say, that was a little lackluster. Last night was lackluster. Giannis also scrubbed his X account and his Instagram account of every post over the last 4 years.
So let's just call a spade a spade.
No, you can't just call a spade, Doc.
Geyser was put in a group home, and she apparently fled to Illinois, where she was captured. Anthony Cotton has been her attorney. I mean, he is with us this afternoon.
She didn't do anything violent. She didn't arm herself. She didn't, you know, go and try to find the light in her family. There's good arguments that Morgan is still not a dangerous person.
Hugh Jackman was in Milwaukee singing Sweet Caroline at Landmark.
By surprise. I thought that he was going to be nice. Show up, smile. Hugh's got to go. He's got another thing.
Well, the custard surprised me. I've never had it before. I kind of thought it was ice cream, but realized, oh no, it's another whole universe. I don't know if I can go back.
Oxford, word of the year. This year's winner, Rage Bay.
Rage Bay.
The fact that we're using the word as often as we are means that people are aware of this phenomenon, and that's probably a good thing.
Post-Thanksgiving, the holidays are really here, but a couple of weeks till Christmas, trying to cram in a bunch of stuff. And oh, by the way, Pete Hegseth is facing multiple congressional inquiries, including an investigation into military strikes.
Some people are calling it a war crime. Well, of course, that raises the question, was this really a war?
No drafts of any flag.
No drafts of any flag whatsoever. Maybe that's not the way to do everything.
You really riled this up with the stupid flag story to start off with.
It was bait.
Everybody was already on edge. But the reporting was that Giannis had actually asked for a trade to the Knicks before the season. And then there was reporting that Giannis's team was meeting with Bucks brass right now about his future. And this happened 3 minutes in.
Giannis is down behind the play now.
Okay, guys, take care and goodbye.
What a week, eh?
What a week.
Hi. Feed me again.
Feed you again.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
And by the way, Anthony Cotton, the attorney for not just Morgan Geyser, but also for Maxwell Anderson and a lot of other interesting defendants, is going to be my guest today on WTMJ Conversations at 11 o'clock this morning. That was the Week in Review, brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited. You can text the word week to the Siding Unlimited talk and text line at 855-616-1620, and you can hear it all again. It's 842 on WTMJ. Why should you be careful of your identity at this time of the year? We'll tell you right after this on Wisconsin Week in Morning News.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
You know, as we get into this busy holiday season, our thoughts and minds are all over the place. So it means you are more vulnerable to being taken advantage of. Joining us is Michelle Reinen, our consumer expert from DatCap. And Michelle, this is a time of year where we really need to be aware that scammers might be looking to take our identity.
They are. They are out there trying to use any tactic that they can in order to get our private information. And so consumers might encounter requests for their personal information in many different forms this holiday season. It could be holiday giveaways and sweepstakes or discount and rebate promotions, surveys which might offer prizes for participating, rewards programs, or maybe fun online quizzes and games that we think are innocent. And then there's always those product warranty and registration cards that are run by legitimate companies. However, they might be asking for more information than is necessary and that we should really be keeping to ourselves.
How do you know if you've been a victim of identity theft?
Well, that's really hard to navigate. You need to monitor your identity and watch for red flags. If you start receiving unsolicited emails indicating that you have been eligible and received a loan, or maybe you're getting suspicious mail that you've never received before, those could be indicators. But if you see charges on your credit account or inappropriate activity on your credit report, those are indicators that you need to act immediately, because you could be victim of identity theft.
So what steps should you take?
You need to put a security freeze on your credit report. And you also could put a fraud alert on your credit report that will notify you of suspicious activity so you can take that action right away.
And finally, if you think that you've got a problem as far as being a consumer, how do we get in touch with that consumer protection hotline?
You can call 800-422-7128 or go to the website at datcp.wi.gov.
It is 8:47 today. If we've got any lingering snow out there, it's going to be ending very quickly, but it's going to be breezy, chilly, and well, at least we'll get some sunshine. With a high of 26 degrees, and tonight we've got a chance of some lake effect flurries right along the lake with a low of 13 degrees. Tomorrow looks mostly cloudy during the day. Then we've got a little light snow or flurries in the evening. We might get some accumulation, but they're not sure if it's going to be very much, with a high of 26 degrees. Then Tuesday, mostly cloudy, breezy, and not quite as cold during the day. But we're going to get a rain-snow mix lightly on Tuesday night with a high of 38 degrees. It's 22 degrees on WTMJ. Coming up next, we've got Sandy Max in here, and she still has that Hugh Jackman glow about her. We're going to hear more about her experiences. As I said, stalking. No, she didn't really stalk, but it seemed like she was stalking because she was everywhere Hugh Jackman was on Tuesday. But also, she saw the movie that he was here promoting, and we'll tell you all about it right after this on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
Check in with Sandy Max from What's on Tap. And Sandy, I am so envious of you. I did have a very good week. Yeah. I was happy to fill in for you on Tuesday night. But of course, the sadness was that meant I didn't get to go and stalk Hugh Jackman like you did all day.
Let's clarify that. I didn't stalk him. I covered his appearance at as many places as I could on Tuesday. He was almost everywhere on Tuesday, spreading joy to build up the excitement for Song Sung Blue, the movie that comes out on Christmas Day about lightning and thunder. Yes, the musical Milwaukee duo.
All right. Now, we got to talk about the movie, because that's really why he was here. He wasn't here just to have ice cream or to visit
frozen
with
custard,
everybody
old
in the
fashions
world.
With Charlie Barron's. He did the Hammerschlagen at Old German Beer Hall. Oh. He went to Milwaukee High School of the Arts.
Wow.
And Hugh Jackman and Focus Features donated $15,000 so students could get new instruments. And he was there almost an hour with students. No media was allowed. You'll see footage on social media, but that was the Focus Features crew. And that was such a heartwarming time. The students performed a song from The Greatest Showman for him, and he was such a genuine presence. at COPS, he handed out all 500 frozen custard scoops.
And you got the first one.
I got the very first one. I was standing in the right place at the right time. He was so pleased with himself. He's like, it's my first one. Look. And I was like, taste it, taste it. And he didn't. But his COPS name badge said lightning on it. And he was like, who wants it? And I was like, I do. And he's like, well, here you go. Come on then.
How much did you get to talk to him?
I got about 90 seconds on the blue carpet at the Oriental Theater because it was jam-packed full of media. But it was a joyous minute. He is the kind of person who gives you eye contact. He listens. And the one question I could get in was, they filmed this movie, Song Song Blue, unfortunately, in New Jersey, not in Milwaukee. But it looks very Milwaukee in the 1990s. I'm saying that purposefully. You know, it has the right feel. Wood paneling in their home, you know, all the good stuff. But he, in particular, talked to Focus Features and said, we should do a hometown premiere with Claire Sardina's family. I got to know them through the filming because Claire and her son and daughter, Dana and Rachel, were advisors for the script. And I happened to be standing behind Claire's daughter, Rachel, at COPS. And as soon as Hugh Jackman saw Rachel Cartwright, he came over and gave her a huge hug. So when you see that video on our Instagram on WTMJ, that's who he is hugging. But he's looking at me over her shoulder.
Of course he was.
So I'm like, oh, I'm going to soak in the love. But that's how tight-knit this is.
All right, but how good-looking is he?
Absolutely gorgeous. But he's not distractingly handsome, if that makes, you know, because you kind of get lost.
Because he's tall. He's like 6'3".
He is. Yeah. I don't know if he's 6'3". Maybe he is. But yeah, but he's just a warm, welcoming presence. And I think what he is a true performer who gets energy from an audience. Because you think of how many places Hugh Jackman was in our Milwaukee area on Tuesday at Milwaukee High School for the Arts, at Old German Beer Hall, at Kegel's Inn, at COPS. Then he was at the Oriental. Then he went out to Waukesha. He was at the Majestic Cinema in Brookfield, introducing a screening there. Then he came back and sang at Landmark Lanes, which I was lucky enough to see him sing with Claire Sardina, Sweet Caroline, with Five Card Studs. Think about all of that and how wiped out you'd be at the end of the night. He talks with everyone. He smiles. He'll pause for a photo genuinely and says, I hope you enjoy the film. Like, just, I think he gets that good energy from people who give him good energy.
All right, so let's talk about the film.
Yeah.
You did see it.
I did.
What can you share about it?
Family and friends there. It's interesting. Filmmaker Craig Brewer, what a perfect name. You'd know him from Hustle and Flow. He's an established filmmaker. Craig Brewer watched the original documentary from 2008, 2009 called Song Song Blue that showed gritty home movies and showed lightning and thunder all around at Wisconsin State Fair. And what Craig Brewer got from that documentary that literally struck him was the true love story and how lightning and thunder, Mike and Claire Sardina, stuck together through thick and thin because they had some real drama in their lives. And the unwavering dreaming of doing this show together and the drive to perform, those were the themes that stood out to Craig Brewer. So those are the themes that you get in Song Song Blue, the film with Hugh Jackman and Kate Hudson. They do a great job bringing these themes of love and togetherness and connecting through music to life. And Rachel Cartwright, who I chatted with at COPS, the daughter of Claire, she told me they jammed like 15 years of information and events into like 2 years for the film. Because you have to, you know, do the dramatization. But I said to Rachel, like, what is it like to see this happen? This is your life. And she said, they did such a good job. I'm so proud of it. Even some of the lines that, because she was Zooming with the filmmaker, Craig Brewer, for like 5 years, all this time. And she was giving him some lines and like things that like really happened. And she was like, he used some of my lines in the film. What a thrill. So there's a real authenticity, and it does celebrate love. It celebrates some fun moments when Lightning and Thunder performed with Pearl Jam at Summerfest. It is not a stretch. It really is a fun film, and to watch it with the family and friends, everybody was pretty quiet. There was some laughter and some like jokes that were made, so like that knowing laughter. But at the end, there were pockets of people who genuinely stood up and gave standing ovations. And you're going to hear an interview on What's on Tap. Beth D'Amato is Tom D'Amato's daughter. I went to Marquette with her. Tom D'Amato was the co-manager of Lightning and Thunder and completely believed in them and wanted them to play a residency at like a hotel lobby in Las Vegas. Like that was one of his goals for Lightning and Thunder. And he's played by Jim Belushi in the film. Now, Beth saw the Hollywood screening of this back in October with a bunch of jaded Hollywood professionals. And she said, there's a moment in the film where Lightning and Thunder are singing a duet and falling in love. And she said that that audience in Hollywood applauded during the film.
Wow.
So that's how good this film can be for a national audience. I think here in Milwaukee, it's still going to be kind of surreal because there's a lot of people who know Claire Sardina and knew Lightning and Thunder. So I think it's going to sit a little weird with our Milwaukee audience, but I think nationally it's going to be well embraced. And Kate Hudson is already getting Oscar buzz.
That's what I wanted to ask you. Is she really that good in that?
Yes. And Beth D'Amato, again, Hollywood professional who works on Star Wars movies, Star Trek, Transformers, the first Avatar. She said that she thinks that it is Oscar worthy.
Wow.
Yeah. Who knew?
So we just have to wait until Christmas if we weren't friends and family or got to go to that screening.
It'll be worth the wait.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I really am. And I'm still a little jealous that you got to follow Hugh Jackman all over town the other day. All right, let's talk about what's on tap. I'm filling in for you again this week on Wednesday.
On Wednesday because it's the WTMJ Trivia Showdown in Oak Creek at Trattoria Di Carlo and Pizzeria. I'll be joined by the Wisconsin's morning news team. So come out with me, Vince, Eric, Debbie Lazga, Pancake. We are going to have a lot of fun. Bring a toy for Capco's Kids to Kids. But these trivia nights really are fun and creative. Coming up with your team name is part of the fun and the sense of humor for that. But yeah, so thank you for guest hosting this past Tuesday so I could cover the Hugh Jackman blue carpet and everything. And thank you for guest hosting so we can do a good deed and help families in need with Capco's Kids to Kids.
And just a little plug.
What do you have
on
coming?
Wednesday night, yeah. I am going to be talking with the Milwaukee writer who appeared on Jeopardy on, of all nights, Thanksgiving. And it aired in the middle of the night. She is fantastic. Nicole Hasse, she's a freelance writer from here in town. She tells me the whole story. We're going to have part of that on Wednesday night on What's on Tap.
People love Jeopardy. And to get on Jeopardy is quite a feat. That'll be fun.
Wait till she tells the story. All right, Sandy. And then you're back tomorrow night on What's on Tap.
Absolutely. And the Whiskey Bells will be one of my guests singing some holiday music.
Should be a fun night. Sandy Max, always great to have you here.
Thanks, Libby.
It's 8:59 and 22 degrees at WTMJ. Coming up after the news with Nazir, we're going to be talking with Good Karma Brands' Alex Stroff. He is on his way to Lambeau for what else? The big game between the Packers and the Bears. He's going to have the preview of what it's like right now, game-wise, and what his predictions are. That's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins. And now it's time for New at 9.
Well, I don't think there's a bigger story today than that game that's going to take place at 3:25 today, the kickoff between the Packers and the Bears. And who do we talk to about it? Well, the host of Green Bay Game Day. It's Alex Stroff. Alex, before we get started, happy birthday to you.
Oh, Libby, you rascal. I didn't know you knew that. Thank you very much.
Well, see, I know that because you and I are just a couple days off in terms of birthdays. And the best people are born this week.
You're absolutely right about that. Well, happy birthday to you as well, Libby.
Thanks so much. All right, you are on your way right now to Lambeau. By the way, how is driving right now?
Not too bad. There was a couple patches just north of Milwaukee that we could use the plows out there. But, hey, big thank you to all the plow drivers. I know how much of a pain in the rear this can be. But roads are pretty good overall.
No, we're glad to hear that. But, okay, so you're on your way to Green Bay. It is going to be really cold there today. I mean, we're talking about teens at kickoff. What do we know right now? Because we've got a couple of players from the Packers that we didn't think were going to play who are going to make the field today.
Yeah, we'll get to the players in a second. What we do know right now, Libby, is I'm wearing three pairs of pants. That is not an exaggeration. Ooh. That's a fact. So, yes, I am prepared for the frigid temperatures. You are absolutely correct. Wide receiver Jaden Reed will likely play today for the first time since breaking his collarbone back in week 2 against Washington. That's a guy who was this team's leading receiver each of the last 2 years, so certainly a significant boost to this Packers offense. And quarterback Jordan Love, who has been playing really good football as of late. So that is the exciting development in terms of wide receivers and offensive tools. Jaden Reed will make his return today.
Is there anybody who's not going to play that we wish were going to?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's worth mentioning since it feels like it's been forever since the Packers last played about a week and a half ago on Thanksgiving. Devontae Wyatt was ruled out of that game with a leg injury. He has been placed on injured reserve, so the Packers will be without their best run stopper against the NFL's second-best rushing offense. There's certainly something to keep an eye on there as the Packers look to slow down Chicago's offense, which speaking of red hot, has certainly been that. 9 of the last 10 the Bears have won, and that's a big thanks to their 1-2 punch at running back with DeAndre Swift and Kyle Manungai.
Yeah, well, and this is the scary thing, because this game is so critical, and the fact that that the Packers are playing the Bears twice in less than 3 weeks, I mean, has this ever even happened before?
Not that I remember, period, right? It's twice in 13 days these two teams will go head-to-head. But also with implications, this is the first time since 2013 that these two teams are playing a game in December with both having winning records. First time in 12 years.
Unbelievable.
So, yeah, big time. Big time the next 2 weeks. Now, the Packers desperately need the win today, because they would then leapfrog Chicago to be in sole possession of first place in the NFC North. Obviously, if the Bears win today, they extend their lead, and that means they could effectively win the division with another victory over the Packers in 2 weeks. So Packers needed a little bit more than the Bears today if they want to keep those hopes alive for a home playoff game.
All right, so what do you see happening?
Well, we as quote-unquote journalists, I don't know if I'd go that far to describe myself, we are supposed to remain completely unbiased, right, Libby? That's like journalism 101.
That's kind of hard for somebody who's a Packers fan, isn't it, Alex?
Bingo, exactly what I was about to say. I have a really hard time with that with the Packers, and it's a lot harder when they're playing the team from down south. I will do my best, though. I think the Packers win. Vegas likes them. If we look at our friends over at Pottawatomie Sportsbook, the Packers are 6.5-point favorites, which is quite a large line going up against a team that's only got 3 losses on the season. The Bears 9-3, the Packers 8-3-1 this year. I think the Packers win. I think they win by a touchdown. The way Jordan Love has been playing is really, really, really encouraging. That's a guy who I think coming into this season, Libby, we all looked at him, we go, okay, we think he's good, but how good is he? And they're paying him $55 million a year, which that tells me they think he can be really good. And as of late, ever since that loss to Carolina, I would argue Jordan Love's been the best quarterback in the National Football League. So hopefully he can continue that stretch today as his head coach and play caller, Matt LaFleur, has certainly turned a corner from what looks like a stale offense just a month ago.
We're talking with the host of Green Bay Game Day, Alex Stroph. And Alex, by the way, thank you for taking the time to talk to us right now. You mentioned the coach, and there's a little bit of a rivalry between LaFleur and that Bears coach, isn't there?
There sure is. So Ben Johnson, the former Lions offensive coordinator, was introduced as the Bears head coach earlier this year, and at his press conference, seemingly took a shot for no reason at Matt LaFleur. He said, I really like beating Matt LaFleur twice a year. A couple of issues with this. Number one, they don't have a relationship. So it wasn't like this was some, you know, friendly jab. There was actually some vitriol behind that. And everybody was asked about that at Lambeau Field this week. Nobody would say anything about those comments except until somebody finally did. Offensive coordinator Adam Stenovich telling reporters on Thursday, yeah, we take that personally. It feels like a shot at us too, not just Matt LaFleur. So, yeah, it could get a little dicey, could get a little chippy. But, I mean, that's what makes rivalries fun, though, Libby, frankly. I thought it was a little dorky, but I like it for the rivalry.
Okay, but is this Johnson's personality, or is he just really going after anything he can to make the Packers uncomfortable?
Well, I think a little bit of both, to be real honest with you, right? So I view it as almost like a rite of passage. When the Bears hire a new head coach, they seemingly always take some sort of shot at Green Bay, but it's never been done personally like it was earlier this year by Ben Johnson, where he name-dropped Matt LaFleur. So it's a little bit of a twist on what we've seen many coaches over the years do when they're introduced as the Bears head coach, and that is, oh, well, we want to reclaim the North. We want to beat the Packers. We want the Packers to be in last place like we have been. This time, a little bit different. So, yeah, I don't know if it's his personality. I don't know if it was a joke that fell flat. Feels a little bit more like the latter, but I don't know.
Are you at all surprised that the Bears are doing as well as they are this year?
Absolutely am, yeah, I am. I thought they had an opportunity to turn it around quite a bit. That's a team that only won 5 games last year. So, you know, they weren't very good. Everything fell apart. They completely rebuild in the offseason. They acquire offensive linemen via trade. They acquire offensive linemen in free agency. They draft 3 offensive weapons. And they are just winning one-score ball games. Up until last week, they had a negative point differential on the season. They're only +6 despite a 9-3 record. So I am surprised, because typically it's those experienced teams that win those one-score games, not young teams with a first-year head coach. But that's the way it's played out a lot of times this year for Chicago. I guess if I was to say if there's anything Packers fans should be worried about, it seems if you let the Chicago Bears hang around this year, they find a way to win it at the end. So hopefully if the Packers win, they win by a score of like 40-3 and not 27-24.
We are talking with Alex Roaf. He is the host of Green Bay Game Day. You can hear that at noon today. Alex, can you hang on for just another minute?
Yeah, of course.
All right. We've got more with Alex after this. I want to find out who has more momentum going into the game today. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck.
Oh, Isaac, what a song to pick. We've got Alex Stroh here. He is the host of Green Bay Game Day that gets underway at noon today on WTMJ. All right, Alex, who has more momentum going into that game today? We talked about how well they're both teams are doing, the Packers and the Bears. But who do you think has the force of will now behind them more than the other team?
I would give a slight edge to Green Bay because they're playing like their hair's on fire, Libby. I mean, the way they've turned it around after back-to-back losses to Carolina and Philadelphia to start off the month of November, and now have won, what, 3 in a row it is after a win over Detroit. They're 3-0 in division play. Their offense has taken its next step that we've been waiting to see since Tucker Kraft was lost back on November 2nd against Carolina for the season with a torn ACL. He was really the heartbeat of this offense. So it took a little bit for them to refine themselves. But now with getting Jaden Reed back into the fold offensively, I think the Packers have just a tinge more momentum. But like you said, both of these teams really hot. The Bears have won 9 of their last 10 games. They started the season 0-2 and now have won 9 of their last 10. Had a big win over the reigning Super Bowl champion Eagles on Black Friday. But the Packers also with a really convincing win on Thanksgiving against the Lions. So both teams with plenty of momentum, but I would give a slight edge to our Green Bay Packers.
I know you're not a negative guy, but
you're right.
Is there anything that you are concerned about with the Packers that if they don't do it this way, or if something occurs that they're going to be compromised as far as winning today?
You make me laugh, Libby, that you had to preface. I know you're not a negative guy with that. You're right. I'm a very optimistic, a glass half full type of fella. Here's how confident I am, Libby. I made a bet with my co-host and producer on Mr. Relevant, Will Summers, who is a Bears fan. I will do a 45-minute session of hot Pilates and paint my fingernails like Caleb Williams if the Bears win today. That's how confident I am. I don't do hot Pilates. I guess I didn't really answer your question, though, did I?
I want to see that manicure.
It'll be good. I didn't really answer your question, though. I can answer it for you. If there's something to be worried about for Packers fans, it is the fact that the Packers lost Devontae Wyatt, as we talked about in the last segment, their best run stopper. The Bears are averaging a ton of yards on the ground. They're number 2 in the NFL. They can run the football really, really effectively. And the Packers, in spurts this season, have struggled to stop the run. And they've got two running backs that are capable of really ruining somebody's day. They both went for over 100 yards before the fourth quarter began last week against Philadelphia. So those are guys that could ruin my birthday and ruin this Sunday at Lambeau Field. But I just don't see that happening.
Do you see early scoring in the game?
I do, yeah. That's been a recipe to success for the Packers for a couple of different reasons. Number one, their offense has been really good the last several weeks. But number two, if teams are down against the Packers, that forces them to throw the football. And when teams are throwing the football, or at least attempting to, that's when our new guy, our new shiny toy, if you will, can really shine. And Micah Parsons, 2.5 sacks last week against Detroit, 12.5 for the season. When teams are forced to throw the football against Green Bay, that's where he shines. So, yes, I think if they get up early, that's going to be a recipe to success for them.
I love you calling Micah Parsons our new shiny toy. I'm going to leave you on that one. Alex, I hope you have a happy birthday, and I hope it's topped off with a win at Lambeau today for the Pack.
Me too. Me and my 3 pairs of pants agree with you, Libby. Thanks as always. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, and you'll be back. Alex Stroh, he'll be back at noon today on Green Day Game Day. I'm Libby Collins. What's that weather going to be looking like? Well, it's going to be really cold in Green Bay. They're only going to be in the teens. But for us around the Milwaukee area, looks like we've got some sun. It will be chilly, but we're going to get up to about 26 degrees. Temperature is 21 degrees at 922 on WTMJ. Coming up next, we're going to tell you how you can save 25 cents a gallon at the pump. And it might be something you're not even aware you already have. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Well, we've all been spending money because it is the holiday season, getting all those gifts ready for everybody. But a lot of us are hitting the roads, too. What about the price of travel, especially if you're going by car? Well, joining us is Eden Greenstein. She's the Prime Savings Expert for Amazon Prime worldwide. And Eden, nobody knows about shopping like you do, because boy, it's been a busy couple of weeks, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. And we know more customers than ever are hitting the road this holiday season. And I'm super excited that this season we are introducing Fuel Up Friday, a special promotion for Prime members to help save more at the gas pump this holiday season.
Now, wait a second. I know, as a Prime member, some of the things I get to do, obviously I get to shop, I get that free shipping, I can check in on my Amazon Prime streaming device. But now what's this about? If you're a Prime member, you also can save money on gas?
Yep. With Fuel Up Friday, every Friday between now and the end of the year, Prime members can save 25 cents per gallon at BP, AMCO, and participating AM/PM locations. There are close to 260 in the greater Milwaukee area for your listeners, and more than 690 across the state of Wisconsin. That 25 cents per gallon is more than double the everyday fuel savings of 10 cents per gallon that Prime members get every day at BP, AMCO, and participating AM/PM locations.
And this is only on Fridays?
Every Friday, now through the end of the year, you'll get that special 25 cents per gallon. But Prime members can also save 10 cents per gallon every day at the pump.
All right, so tell us about this website. I mean, what do you do and how much effort is it to sign up?
So it's super easy. All you have to do is download BP's loyalty app called Earnify and link it with your Prime membership using the phone number associated with your account. That's it.
Why did you decide to do this at Amazon?
We know that we are always looking for ways to help our members save. And we know that more members and more customers are going to be hitting the road this holiday season to spend time with families and loved ones. And so it's just one of the newest ways that we are helping Prime members to stretch their budgets a little bit further this season.
I'm talking with Eden Greenstein. She is a Prime Savings Expert for Amazon Prime worldwide. Okay, are there any other tips that you can share if people are taking road trips or if they're shopping or even for last-minute travel?
Folks can head over to Amazon.com/fuel savings to learn more. And I encourage everybody to head over to the Amazon shopping app, where you can check out our holiday shop live now in the store to help find curated selection of holiday deals. And as always, Prime members will get fast free delivery. And we do offer discounted memberships for young adults, for students, and for government assistance recipients. Folks can head over to Amazon.com/Prime and see if they're eligible for a free trial.
Eden, one more time. On this Fuel Up Friday offer, if anybody is looking to save 25 cents, you said, per gallon, what's the website they should go to again?
Head over to Amazon.com/fuel savings to learn more about Fuel Up Friday. And you can always download BP's loyalty app called Earnify to link your Prime membership today.
Eden Greenstein, Prime Savings Expert for Amazon Prime worldwide. Thank you so much and happy shopping season.
Thanks, everyone. Happy holidays.
Welcome back to the final half hour of Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. I'm Libby Collins. Are you aware there have been over 8,000 global data breaches just in the first half of the year? About 345 million records were exposed, mostly in the U.S., United Kingdom, and in Canada. Well, joining us is Mike Bremer. He is the Vice President and Head of Global Data Breach Resolution and Consumer Protection for Experian. And Mike, I imagine you are looking at those numbers, and it's hard to believe as many consumers as that, 345 million, have been exposed.
Well, thank you, Libby, for having me. And yes, there have been a lot of consumers exposed, and global data breaches are really a problem everybody has to deal with.
I know that you've got the 13th annual data breach industry forecast that you're just publishing. And what did you find with this in terms of what trends we're seeing, who's behind these data breaches, and also how can we stop them?
Well, this year's forecast has 5 out of the 6 predictions that involved AI. So AI is very transformative. It's no longer behind the scenes, and it's very much front and center in scams, data breaches, and even infrastructure attacks.
You mentioned AI. How is it having an impact on cybersecurity?
Well, it used to be just in the background. And in fact, where it's come up is that it's faster, it has broader impact, and it is much harder to detect than traditional methods of infiltration. So the hackers are using AI more effectively than the people that are defending the companies.
Can you share a couple of instances of what you've seen AI and some of these cyber criminals doing?
Sure. Well, a couple of our predictions for 2026 actually point those out. The first one is agentic AI combined with quantum computing. And two-thirds of the organizations we surveyed said that quantum computing is going to be the biggest trend for the industry over the next 3 to 5 years. That combined with the fact that agentic AI is 99% faster than conventional technologies, that makes it a real problem.
Can you define what this quantum computing is?
Yes. So instead of using traditional bytes, whether it's either sort of on or off, a quantum computing uses, instead of a byte, a qubit, which can be either on or off or on at the same time. And that makes it about 4 to 5 times faster than computing today.
Okay. What can consumers do to prevent these breaches on their own information? I mean, if the cyber criminals are that advanced on what we're doing, is there a way to keep up?
Most of the things are pretty simple, like don't click on any links or use any QR codes. Never use public Wi-Fi. Only shop on a website or conduct financial transactions where it has HTTPS in the URL. Make sure you're using two-factor authentication on all your apps as well as websites. Use a password manager that has long and unique passwords that will create automatically. And then, of course, sign up for Experience-Free IdentityWorks identity theft protection so you can monitor your credit file or see if anything's out in the dark web.
We're talking with Mike Brummer. He's Vice President and Head of Global Data Breach Resolution and Consumer Protection for Experian. What are you seeing? Who are the people who are most at risk of having their information tapped into by these cyber criminals?
What we find from most of our clients' data breaches with people impacted, you have a lot of children because they still have a Social Security number, but they have what we would call a virgin credit file. So their identities are very attractive to criminals that want to build false credit files and go ahead and scam money. And at the same time, seniors on the other end of the spectrum, they're less comfortable with technology. They may not always know to check for the right website or have the right VPN or encryption on their device. And so both young and old are probably more susceptible than the rest of the population.
What are companies like Experian doing to find these cyber criminals and stop them from getting this data?
One of the things that we do is we go out proactively with a group of our customers and help them build a response plan, because it's not a question of if it's going to happen, it's more of a question of when it's happened. And we find a lot of breaches are caused by human error. So we'll spend time not only preparing a response plan for a client or helping them organize their team, but we're also giving them tips how to avoid becoming a victim, like making sure zero trust and verify all inbound and outbound communication, making sure all their devices are encrypted and they're using a VPN, and then making sure that they spend time with actual training on cybersecurity. Security that's job specific with all their employees.
So many of us are tied to our phones. Is the average phone prepared technologically to combat some of these data breaches?
Most devices, whether it's a tablet, a PC, desktop, a phone, or any other device that's connected, they aren't the problem. 99% of all breaches are due to human error. So that's people that either aren't turning on the right settings on their device, they're going to the wrong website, they're not putting on two-factor authentication with biometrics on their device to protect it. So the issue isn't the device, it's the human being.
I would think in your position, Michael, you think about this 24/7. Who are these cyber criminals? And where are they?
Well, interestingly enough, Libby, one of our predictions is called Girls Just Want to Have Fun. And what we've seen with the hackers and what we're predicting in 2026 is that women who are hackers are going to double between this year and next. people say, okay, why? Well, first of all, women in cyber have grown from 2017 at 11% to over 35%, and these are legitimate jobs. But with the advent of the STEM programs in high schools, more cyber degrees being offered by colleges and universities, and then many more jobs in cybersecurity, there are a lot more women that are going to be converted into hackers or become hackers just by the sheer numbers.
Are these lone wolves or are these organized criminal conspiracies? Are they governments behind it? Who's doing it?
The answer to the question is a little bit of all of the above, but the things that contribute really to hacking right now are the availability of kits on the internet, whether it's malware, ransomware, breaking encryption. Someone with just a connection to the internet, but not necessarily great cybersecurity skills, can download what is known as a rootkit from the dark web, and they can just push a button, and the program will take the rest of the work out of their way and to be able to hack into an organization. Some are state-sponsored, some are just teenagers in a garage, and then there are groups that have come together, like one that's called Scattered Spider.
It's really frightening. When you hear about this and how vulnerable we all are to having our information actually stolen from us, is there some place where we can get more information, Michael?
Yes, we have a great place. Not only you can see our 13th annual predictions, but also get consumer tips and ways to protect yourself. And that's Experian.com/data breach. And the second resource is Ask Experian Blogs for both protection tips and what to do if you become a victim of a scam.
Mike Bremmer, Vice President and Head of Global Data Breach Resolution and Consumer Protection from Experian. Thank you so much. One last question. Have you ever had your personal information stolen?
Yes. In fact, there was a breach about 12 or 15 months ago from National Public Data, and they're a background provider for background screen companies. And I had entries with my social, 22 different entries that I was alerted on from Experian where my social was found in the dark web.
Wow. Mike, if it can happen to you, it can happen to anybody. Thank you so much for sharing this information with us today.
Thanks for having me, Libby. Nice to talk to you.
It's 9:45 and that temperature is dropping. We're down to 20 degrees at WTMJ. Attorney Anthony Cotton's been representing criminal defendants around the area for over 20 years. And that includes, of course, Morgan Geiser, who we know from the Slender Man case. She recently cut off her ankle monitor to leave a halfway house in Madison. Well, I asked Tony Cotton about his interactions with that Slenderman defendant over the past decade.
Your first meeting with her, what was your impression of her?
My initial impression was that Morgan had profound mental health needs that needed to be addressed very quickly.
Things have changed. She was put into a mental institution where she had help. Were you in contact with her during these years at all?
Yeah, throughout the whole time.
And were you trying to get her out of that situation?
I was trying to make sure that she was healthy enough to be released from that situation. So my goal with Morgan always was I have to give advice on what are the steps she should be taking to help achieve her release.
Did you have a conversation with her when you finally got the decision you wanted? All right, Morgan, this is all on you. You got to watch yourself and be careful what you do.
It's exactly what we did. We talked about next steps and the fact that she's being released from an institution and going into the community. And I still don't think Morgan is a violent risk. But the risk that I see from Morgan is more that she hasn't learned how to navigate adult relationships in the way that you would if you grew up outside of the institution.
Attorney Anthony Cotton also agreed to represent Maxwell Anderson. He was convicted of killing and dismembering Sade Robinson earlier this year. Tony shared an incident with me about how some people reacted to his taking on that particular case.
Obviously, you've been hired now to defend this guy, but this is a grisly, grisly case.
My first reaction was, it's grisly. I felt a lot of empathy towards the victim's family. I felt a lot of empathy towards my client's family. I mean, he had two families that were ripped apart here. And then I made a court appearance or two, and I remember walking out, and I'm used to people recognizing me or they've seen me on the news or things like that, and they'll say hi. There was a woman who was standing there with her phone out, but she had it up, like pointed at me. And I thought, I don't know, she's taking a picture of me or something. And she just started verbally assaulting me, saying horrible swear words and calling me names for what I was doing, how does it feel to defend such a sick person? And I still, to this day, I don't know who that person was, but it didn't stop. I mean, she followed me from the court appearance in intake court all the way through the courthouse, over the skywalk, into the safety building, up to the elevators, and continued to berate me even as I was waiting in the elevators. That made me realize that there was a level of vitriol out there and animosity and hatred that was going to persist throughout that case.
Attorney Anthony Cotton grew up in Waukesha. He went to school there. He went to Catholic Memorial. He went to UW-Madison. He went to law school at Marquette. So he is really a Wisconsin guy. But why does he agree to represent such notorious defendants? Well, in our conversation, we talked about what motivates him, and we discussed some of his other cases, including his very first one, when he defended the man who attacked Mayor Tom Barrett outside State Fair. Remember that one? He has a lot of interesting stories to tell, and I think you're going to get more insight into what makes Tony Cotton tick and why he defends some of the people that he does. And you can hear that and so much more all this morning at 11 o'clock on WTMJ Conversations. It's 9:50. Coming up next, it is Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day. Not many of us were around when it happened, but we're going to share something that was heard on the radio that very day, 84 years ago. Flags are flying at half-staff throughout Wisconsin today in commemoration of National Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day. It was 84 years ago that Japan bombed our naval base in Hawaii, and it resulted in the death of over 2,403 Americans. This is the only live report. This happened within hours of the attack when an unidentified NBC reporter called a New York radio station, and it's now a part of history.
Hello, NBC. Hello, NBC. This is KCU in Honolulu, Hawaii. I am speaking from the roof of the Advertiser Publishing Company building. We have witnessed this morning a distant view, a great battle off Pearl Harbor, and a severe bombing of Pearl Harbor by enemy planes, undoubtedly Japanese. The city of Honolulu has also been attacked and considerable damage done. This battle has been going on for nearly 3 hours. One of the bombs dropped within 50 feet of KTU Tower. It is no joke. It is a real war. The public of Honolulu have been advised to keep in their homes and await results from the Army and Navy. There has been fierce fighting going on in the air and on the sea. The heavy shooting seems to be 1, 2, 3, 4. Just a moment, little interruption. We cannot estimate yet how much damage has been done, but it has been a very severe attack. The Navy and Army appear now to have the air and the sea under control.
And that was an NBC reporter. Nobody knows who it was. And this is when he reached out to NBC in New York with that report. And again, it was just as all of that was happening at Pearl Harbor. The attack lasted about an hour, about 75 minutes, really. It began at 7:55 a.m. Hawaii time. And by 9 a.m., of the 2,403 killed in the attack, 1,177 sailors on the USS Arizona lost their lives. Interestingly, there were 38 sets of brothers on that ship, and 63 of them died in the attack. And again, that all led to World War II, hundreds of thousands of Americans fighting against Japan and Germany, and they certainly were the greatest generation. Sadly, there are not that many World War II veterans left. Those who are, they're about 100 years old, and we are losing them. I just,
on a daily basis. So if by any chance you know anyone in your family or in your orbit who may have fought in World War II, think of them today. I'm Libby Collins. Thank you for joining us. Up next, it's Reporter's Notebook with Adam Roberts.